Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well, how are you doing?
Doing good.
She was bruised and sore, but she said, okay.
I have bears on our deck. But the dogs
are okay.
But they all sit here. But there's nobody there.
Exactly.
Right? He's one of the dogs sitting on the wall or something. I don't know what it was.
Call to order the December 10th regular meeting of the Georgetown Divide Public. Is Dave on the, Dave, you there?
Dave one?
Yes, I am.
Okay, very good. December 10th, 2019 regular meeting of Georgetown Divide Public Utility District. We'll do a roll call, Kelly.
Director Garcia.
Here.
Director Halpin.
Here.
Director Saunders.
Here.
Director Souza.
Here.
Director Wadley.
Here. We'll do a Pledge of Allegiance. Souza, will you lead us, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Adoption of the agenda. I had received a request to move up a couple of items on the new business to, I guess, basically the first part of the new business. So the email, I think it was to say to have item 7G be the first item on new business, and then item 7E be the second item of new business.
I received the same email.
Okay.
From a customer. So E will be B.
E will be D, that's correct. Okay. G will be A, if that's the wish of the board.
Yep.
I'm green.
Okay. So with that, entertain a motion to adopt the agenda, please, with that change. Again, 7G is now 7A, and 7E is 7B.
Make a motion.
Okay. Thank you.
Second. Go ahead.
Okay. Motion and second. Kelly, when you're ready for roll call, please.
Director Garcia.
Aye.
Director Halpin.
Yes.
Director Saunders.
Aye.
Director Souza.
Aye.
Director Wadley.
Aye. Thank you. Public forum. So an opportunity for anyone to address the board on anything that is not on the agenda. Again, we will have public comment for each of the agenda items. Shireen?
I'm kind of concerned that we don't have any of the year-end fiscal 18-19 budget totals, and we're in December. Is there a reason and not the update, nothing in the agenda about updated CIP or updated budget?
Okay. Sure. Staff, can you follow up after the board meeting?
Sure.
Okay. Steve?
Hi. I'm Stephen Dowd, board, staff, general manager, council. I've lived here in Georgetown for 46 years. I lived on Main Street, just down the road here, for 37 years, and been a GTUT customer for that many years. The board froze the rates 12 months ago at the 2018 rate this past January, and for many months I've reminded you at these monthly board meetings that the clock is ticking and you need to do something to remedy this huge rate increase. We, the ratepayers, figured with additional time you would be able to work together, come up with a bipartisan solution, and we can see this has not happened, and in my opinion will not happen, because President Dane Wadley and Vice President Dave Halpin don't want anything to happen. I believe that has been their objective since January, and they have been stringing ratepayers along. Wadley's strong-arm tactics with his board, not allowing board members to bring up items on the agenda, has hampered the harmony of this board. I feel a lot more could have been done with more cooperation amongst the board members. It was very upsetting to me and others to find out we lost a $400,000 settlement to Myers for delay of the Auburn Lake Treatment Sweetwater plant. How could we have delayed them when they, Myers, was building the plant at their pace? And another thing I wanted to ask is about the generators. How's that going? And the roof. I noticed the roof has not been repaired yet. And if you want, I got a ladder. I got some caulking. I got some plywood. We could fix that tomorrow. Thank you.
Okay. Staff can follow up with your questions. Okay, any additional public, please?
Hi, I'm Kristen McKay. I'm here in Georgetown. I printed out my statement and I forgot to bring it, so this is from memory.
Okay.
Number one, I was reading through the minutes of the various board meetings, and I noticed that there are a lot of statements of so-and-so made a comment, so-and-so asked a question, but there is absolutely no information on what the comment was, what the statement, what, you know, anything about it except that one line, so-and-so said. And I would like to request that future minutes of meetings include detailed specifics about questions that were asked and answers that were provided, so that people not attending the meetings will understand the content and the everything that occurred in the meeting in a clearer manner.
Okay.
Second is, excuse me, I'm out of breath because I rushed up here.
It's all good.
I'm trying to get inside 3 minutes.
I hear you.
Second, I sit on a board of a local organization, and our agendas always include a section for old business, which immediately precedes new business. And I've noticed that y'all don't have an old business section. And I would think that the discussion that's up and coming that is of great importance to all of the public about the rates would have appeared on an agenda much before today if that section was included as a standard item. And number three, I don't have my notes in front of me, but I do know the February meeting stated a very specific task for the general manager and staff to do, and that was requesting to create an RFP and submit it for proposals for specific action, and I want to know if that ever occurred.
February of 2019.
It so said the general in the minutes. It said it was decided. It was agreed upon that the general manager and staff would create an RFP for, I believe it was, engineering firms to calculate the cost of replacement equipment or something along those lines.
This was done.
It was
the
done.
The request was sent out. General manager brought it back.
Okay.
The board rejected doing it.
Seriously.
Yeah. We brought back the actual proposed contract. We selected a firm, brought back a contract for board approval, and the board did not approve the contract.
So, Christy, for further clarification.
Thank you.
What was requested in February, because I made the motion that we have the general manager scope out what it would take to do a forensic audit.
Okay, right.
What
okay.
it would cost. Scope
okay, that's
that
what
out.
I remembered, and not
yes.
what was worded in the minutes.
Correct.
Thank you.
So the comments and the motions were centered around a forensic audit.
Oh, okay.
What came back and what the board discussed was changing that forensic audit into an engineering firm that would do the work.
Oh, so not, a, oh,
and
not
that
at all.
RFP went out, and then later on in the year, what that was rejected.
Okay, so no audit has ever been done
correct.
About the rate study.
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? You guys are set. Bill?
Well, how are you guys doing tonight? My name is Bill Throckel. My family's been buying water ever since this place was in business. And I just kind of want to talk to you about a few things. want to wait rate freeze on ag water because, you know, up until this point, you know, I haven't seen anything related to cost. I mean, when I have to go out to my ditch where I get my water and shovel it out because there's that much in a gunited ditch and there's grass growing up in a gunited ditch, I don't think we're spending any money on water, so I can't possibly see why we need a rate increase. Plus the fact, if anybody realizes and we look around, everybody's losing their insurance. Mm-hmm. And hey, you know why? We raised the price of ag water, people stopped irrigating, all the green places are gone. You raise it any more, more people drop out. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing on that side of it is, you get rid of us, what are you going to do when we're not here and you have a drought year and you don't have water to take from because the state's going to want you to send that water down the hill? And these are economic things that you guys need to really address. And the other thing I've noticed this going along, when we start water, we start it in May. And sometimes we don't even need it. The first 2 months of May, I didn't even hardly irrigate. And if we could, you know, like shift so that we get it in the dry seasons, we'd have it in, you know, October, November. That's the way the seasons went. And therefore, we'd be able to maintain the green areas. So I just asking for your help here. I really wish you guys would work together to get some stuff done. I belong to a board at CCA. We move heaven and earth every day. So I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Karen?
Hi, my name is Karen Bartholomew, and I just have a few questions. One of them is if we don't freeze the rate freeze in December, are the rates going to go up in January? That's just a question because I don't know. It was supposed to be frozen for a year, so I don't know if our rates will go up in January. And I was wondering, I saw something along the line that we paid out $400,000, I think, to Myers. And I'm just wondering why, because the ratepayers are paying for this. And I think they sued for $800,000. I'm not sure. But I just wondered why we had to pay $400,000 is a lot of money. You know, does anybody have an answer to that?
Well, I think General Manager, we follow up with Karen afterward.
The first question will be answered as part of 7A.
Oh, okay.
And then, so your comments will be addressed there, and I can follow up with you on the other.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And the other question is I'm just wondering is when is it that they... Do they change presidents, vice presidents, and secretaries of the board every year, or every how often?
Per policy, it's in January on the off election years, and then December. So it's going to be next month.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And also to add to Karen, George Sanders in his report, I believe it was last month, put a paragraph in about the Meyer situation as well. So mm-hmm. That's in
thank
there
you
too,
very
so
much.
Send that to her.
Yeah. Okay. Any other public forum? Seeing none, we will close. I don't believe we have any proclamations or presentations. Thanks, Steve.
No, we
don't. Okay, consent calendar. Item 5A and B. Any board members like to pull something from consent?
Yes, please. Can I pull 5A 1 and 3 and
okay.
5B 1 and 2?
Okay, so requests to pull, that's 5A 1 and 3 and B 1 and 2. So. With that, hearing no other requests, those are pulled, and we will entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar, which now consists of item 5A2.
Motion we accept the consent calendar of 5A2.
Okay. Is there a second on that motion?
Second.
Okay, thank you. Kelly, roll call when you're ready, please.
Director Garcia.
Aye.
Director Halpin.
Yes.
Director Saunders.
Aye.
Director Souza.
Aye.
Director Wadley.
Aye. Okay, so let's go through the other items then. 5A1, special meeting of September 19th, 2019. I had certainly requested the last meeting that some of these, that some of it looked, or some of it be captured accurately. I think it's much more accurate than what it was. But let's have discussion about it.
The concern I have is that the special meeting of September 19th, when there was an attempt to move Don Waltz and Steve Miller from the Finance Committee, there was comments made at the end of that meeting by Director Saunders and I that are not reflected in the meeting minutes. My tape ran the entire length of that meeting to capture Director Saunders' comments and my comments, and I'd like to make that available to staff so that they can reflect the meeting in its entirety with all the director's comments.
And this is the board's have to decide on this because the meeting had been adjourned at that point because that was not on the agenda for additional comments. So
and the meeting
that's
was,
why I wasn't there.
The meeting was adjourned after Director Saunders asked you, Board Chair, if he could make comments, and you said no.
Because it was not on the agenda at that point. That's right. It was off the agenda. So,
so
that's why that was done.
Then I'd still like to make the motion that we clarify these notes, especially since we just had a request to clarify notes for content, that we clarify the notes to be as clear and accurate as possible for the entire length of the meeting. I'll be willing to make my tape available so that staff can capture those comments.
For that, I would add that I had asked to make comments, and the board president denied those comments, whereas the public is allowed to make comments at a meeting, and when the board cannot, board members cannot, especially when it concerned the finance committee, and the reason why we were there, and I had comments about the finance committee, which was I wasn't allowed to make.
It was not on the agenda. That's the reason why anyone was denied. It was not on the agenda. We operate as an agenda. You know that. That's why it was done.
Then I guess so. The question begs then as to why the agenda was different, not standardized based on most agendas we see.
Because there was a special meeting.
And when Director Saunders and I make requests to see agendas early, and that's denied, and when we are denied an opportunity to provide input on any draft agenda, when we see it at the last minute when it's posted, and we make requests to have agenda items put on the agenda, and those are ignored, what guarantee and assurance do we have that even if we made the request to amend and revise the agenda, that would have happened?
Well, first of all, you don't see the agenda at the last
minute.
I made
that request the day before to Steve Palmer, and it was denied then.
Everyone sees the agenda at the same time, 72 hours before, is, you know, sometimes before when staff can get it out, is essentially, so you'd have to talk to more of that process. Also, as I've said before, you can say that you don't get all of your, or any of your agenda items, that is untrue. You get a number of your agenda items on here, both of you guys do. You don't get all of them, that's true. I don't either, neither does Director Souza, neither does Director Halpin. So.
Well, let's clarify that point then, Director Wadley, because when we have made requests for specific wording and that wording is ignored, the generalized topic can be placed on the agenda, but it's not worded in a way that provides the opportunity for Director Saunders and I to make our points or discuss our points that we'd like to discuss under that topic item.
I would say once again that there's first of all, there's a difference of opinion sometimes on your items. Other board members have different views on yours. And again, from this chair, it's a balance, as I've said before, it's a balance of what the board as a whole wants to take up, and not what I want individually taken up, not what you, Director Saunders, nobody else.
Okay, well, thank you. So. I appreciate your comments, and I appreciate your concern. But let's get back to the focused issue here at hand, which is a special meeting on September 19th. I still like those Finance Committee minutes to reflect the comments that both Director Saunders and I made for the clarification for the minutes as well as for the good of the community. And I'd also like to let it stand for the record that I will be turning in my year-end recap, which is a list of all the agenda topics that I've requested to be placed on the agenda since our appointment on the board December 11th of 2018. So that'll be in the permanent meeting record tonight.
Okay. Are there comments on?
Yes, there are.
Okay.
Last month, President Wadley stated that he'd like to clarify the minutes to reflect the fact that he was concerned that someone was calling out his racism and sexism. That was what was stated. I went to another meeting And on my way home, I had to pull off the road because I was livid. I stopped my car saying, what was he asking? Was he asking to put my race into the minutes? I immediately got home and I sent a letter to BCC, to all the board, our general manager, and the legal counsel. And the next day after I calmed down a bit, I sent a longer letter to our general manager. Director Souza, were you aware that Dane Wadley was asking to put my race and Cindy's gender into the minutes?
No.
Director Garcia, were you aware that Dane Wadley was asking to put my race and your gender into the minutes?
Not at the time he requested it, but when I thought about it afterwards, I did not want to be singled out. And you and I, Director Saunders, also mentioned that we did not want to be singled out, and that's part of our comments I want in the record because we stated it in September 19th.
Director Halpin, were you aware that Dane Wadley was going to put my race and gender into public minutes?
No.
So I got home, I was livid. The first thing I wrote was, I am well aware of what I look like. This is not a request. You will not single me out by my race in public minutes. I don't care who said what. Disregarded, ignored. Then I send a longer letter back to the general manager, and it basically said that I am aware of Dane's request to have the minutes reflect what transpired at the special board meeting. The issue here is this is public comments. We should not and do not have to include public comments which demean, denigrate, or are inflaming to our board or staff. The gist of the community members' comments was provided partially. The next sentence was the optics of how it looks, and the community member did not state that this was a reason for items not being placed on the agenda. I saw no reason for my ethnicity or Director Garcia's gender to be placed into our minutes. I also added the things that happened to me in this community, where I'm accosted at Cool Feed, yelled at with racial epithets, and told to go back where I came from. So this puts me and my family at risk. So I did not want this in. Legal counsel, did you see the two letters that I sent? Because I included you in them.
Yes, I did.
Did you make any counsel to them regarding putting this into the agenda?
I did speak with the general
And what
manager.
Was that? Did you tell them it should go in or not go in at all?
That is a communication between my client.
Okay.
If you want to discuss this.
He's your client. Yes.
The entire board's the client.
Yes.
There's not one individual board member that's my client. My communication via the general manager was on behalf of the board. And I'm happy to talk to you about that communication.
Well, thank you. But unfortunately, this was put in public, and I'm out here in the public already. So number one is, when we were going to have town halls, you were very reticent and easily there telling us we shouldn't have town halls. When my motion to amend was not included and no one voted on it, everybody said, nope, it was correct procedure, and it took me 4 months to even get that into minutes. So here is a quest where someone who's a person of color who doesn't want their color or ethnicity put into minutes, and you cannot talk to me. I'll talk to you afterwards. That's fine. Steve Palmer, general manager, when I sent you this request, the first time I heard back from you was today, like an hour before the meeting. What is your rationale for having this on the agenda?
My rationale is this, and I'm first of all, I want to say I'm sorry if you feel like we haven't talked about this until today.
We did not.
Okay. So the rationale is the board was, I was directed by the board.
You were
in
not
an open
directed
meeting.
By the board. Did anybody here give consent to have ethnicities and genders put into the minutes? And immediately I sent that out with all the board. So it should have been clarified.
And that discussion should not happen outside the boardroom because the board direction was to put in the minutes. Okay. And so that's what I was trying to do.
There was no board direction that said Michael Saunders' ethnicity will go in the minutes with his name.
The direction was that Dane, the board president, wanted the comment made by the resident that called him out to be reflected. And so we went back to the recording and listened to it and put it in there. Oh. That was the direction, and so that's what we did. And so any direction I get from individual board members after the point where the direction is received in open session, I'm obligated to follow what's discussed in open session, not change things based on what I heard after the fact, despite how I might feel about it. If I'm getting direction in an open board meeting to do something, then and by the board, then I'm obligated to carry through. That's all we were trying to do, is just carry through the direction. So, you know, when I got the direction, at any minute correction, when I get a direction from an individual board member, say, hey, even like today, hey, I'd like to make this change, and I I looked around, and if it's not a motion, then we're going to bring it back at a future, because you didn't adopt anything.
There was no motion.
Yeah, I know, because you didn't adopt them. And so it was like, hey, I'd like to see this change made. And you guys have all done it. I'd like to see this change made. I looked around. Is everybody okay with that?
We stated what we wanted to have.
Right. And generally, it's like, is everybody okay? We say yes or no. No one said anything.
Because we were not aware that was going to be happening.
That was the direct, I mean, it was pretty clear to me.
It was not clear to me.
And the staff, I don't remember who, I think maybe Stephanie was in that one, wasn't it?
At the last meeting?
At the September meeting.
I was not here at
Gloria.
Yeah,
it was Gloria, that's right. So, anyway, when we tried to follow the standard process and protocol.
So the comments we made then at the September meeting, when the meeting was adjourned, and the recording was turned off by you, and you left the room, and the rest of the directors made their way to leave, but yet stayed to listen to our comments when we made those comments. Do not single us out. Do not call into to question our gender or our ethnicity, because it has no place in the governance team and in board or discussion in open public and board
room. This is a board discussion, so I don't.
You're
directing it at me,
that
but
either then is what you're saying.
Because
you're
responsible
for
the agenda.
About.
Our policy says general manager and board president, but okay. Dane, I talked to you directly on the phone after I sent those letters. I said I did not want my ethnicity in the minutes. I told you in person.
You
sent me a letter while I was in Florida visiting my dad with colon cancer, so I couldn't respond. Why is this in the minutes? What's your rationale?
Because this was a comment that was made. And first of all, I have the actual thing here, because I know exactly what she said.
I know what she said, and
so,
this is a paraphrase.
But
what she
this
said.
Isn't anything that I did. This is, she made the comment. She's your supporter.
I know she
you
went,
should go talk to her about it.
You
I didn't do may
put this in the minutes after I asked
about
you.
This
so
all.
Now
so I did not do that.
I am saddened and disappointed.
I'm reporting what she said.
Thank you. I am saddened and disappointed to have to talk about intolerance at a board meeting. This is a perfect example of intolerance. When a person of color tells his board, do not put my ethnicity on the minutes for a politicized issue that has nothing to do with my ethnicity, my race, or the water district. This is horrific. This humiliates me, my family, my friends, and my community. Why is this in there? I asked for it, and I was ignored.
You were not ignored.
I sent this out to the Board of Supervisors. My name is in the minutes. This is public. It's permanent. Even if we take it out, it's there. People were calling me up. What's going on, Michael?
Again, that's Claudia's. You should ask her. She's
you
said it.
Put it in.
She's
I asked you not to put it in.
She's the one who said it.
That is why it's in there.
So, I told you why it's in there, because we are reporting the minutes. That's what she said. I didn't think it was captured accurately. I made a request to have it captured, what I think, more accurately. That's the proposal that's before the board.
And yet other board minutes say so-and-so made a comment, and that's all they said.
Yeah. So I'm going to make a motion then. I'm going to, because this was my issue, I'm going to bring this right back front and center to the meeting issue here on the meeting of September 19th. I want to make a motion that we have staff take a listen to my tape, since it includes the entire meeting minutes and comments, that those minutes be revised. And I'm going to further my motion to say that I want the other minutes revised to take my gender and Mr. Saunders, Director Saunders' ethnicity, out of the minutes. I think we can, as a board, we can take it upon ourselves to correct a wrong that has happened. And I'd like to see, and Mike, Director Saunders, you certainly have my apology.
Yeah, I'd like to add more stuff to this. So I would make a motion that we move the minutes back to how it was in November. The minutes are not a place to defend against racism or sexism. If you have a problem, you send someone to the minutes. The next thing I request is, I would like a formal apology from our general manager and our board president at the next meeting. And I would like that also written and put into the agenda, just like my race was.
And I will say right now, you're not getting an apology.
And I don't expect one from you.
Because I did nothing wrong. It was Claudia who sent the comments. We're trying to report them accurately.
Thank you.
You can try to say whatever you want.
I am not saying
so
this is
exactly
fact.
What you're trying to do.
I am not trying to. So this is this. You all understand. This is what intolerance looks like.
Right.
Thank you very much. Right. He is using my race to defend against someone calling him racist or sexist by putting my ethnicity in after I asked him not to.
Completely untrue.
So my motion would be I would like the minutes to revert back to the November one exactly as it was placed in the November minutes for the Claudia
issue.
I'm
sorry, the November version of the September minutes, right?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at the November minutes thinking you're trying to recover that
format.
So
the November version we put
in
for that
statement.
Okay, well, so we also have, there are two motions I heard, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you like to do with your motion?
I'd like to modify my motion to include Director Saunders' request. So my motion is now going to be that I'd like to provide my recording of the September 19th Finance Committee special meeting so that staff can make sure that they are clear and accurate. I'd like to make sure that the meeting minutes for the September meeting that were reflected in the November go back to the original way so that the gender and the ethnicity is removed. I would like to honor Director Saunders' request because I think this board did him wrong. I want to make sure that it's very clear in the meeting minutes that a comment was made. Our board president requested that the meeting minutes be changed so that they did reflect to gender and origin. And now we're requesting that they go back, and I request that the board and the GM write a written apology to Director Saunders and have it prepared and ready to be included in the next board meeting in January.
The apology doesn't have to go into as a motion.
That's my motion. And Director Saunders, for the record, you have my apology.
Okay.
Have a comment.
Just a second. So,
I didn't know. There was some additions and changes. I don't think I have the all what they were supposed to be included in there. I don't know if you get it because
I got it.
Staff can get it off the tape.
So, well, no, the public apology part. I heard you say
that,
it, but then Michael said no.
That does not need to be in as a motion. That's a request from a human being, and
right. You
can do with it what you want.
Okay. That's the clarification I'm looking for. So the motion, though, includes it.
The motion includes it. I would like to see it included in there. I'd like to see this board right or wrong.
I'll second it.
Okay. So then public comment.
Okay. There's comments in every meeting minute that Cherie Carline made a comment about. You don't specify exactly what I said.
Yep.
Just a generalization. That's in there all the time. And there, even if she said that, it didn't have to go in the minute. She could use race or, you know, sex or not use those words. You know, it could have been done.
Okay.
So anyway, I think it's,
okay.
You do it all the time.
Okay. Very good. So we have, is there any other public comment? So we have a motion and a second on that. So let's have a roll call, please.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Halpin?
No.
Director Saunders?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye.
Director Wadley?
No. So that motion passes 3-2. So we'll move along to item 5A3, regular minutes, the meeting minutes of November 12th.
This is just a simple clarification. There was a handout that I referred to that was the CIP table. I think, Kelly, I sent that to you and the general manager. I just wanted to make sure that that gets included in the meeting minutes because it went along with agenda number item 8
okay. In
my board requests and
okay.
And discussions.
Okay.
Thank you.
And if you need it again, I provided it with a packet
okay.
To the front desk that will be included into the permanent
today.
Meeting minutes for today's meeting.
Okay.
And for the clarification for the community, this is the post that I put out on my director's Facebook page that includes the CIP adopted projects, and the table at the bottom is one that Director Saunders developed for clarification that has estimated actual costs for some projects that we're a little concerned about and is driving the force behind the general manager working on a revised CIP and a revised budget.
Okay. Any other comments on 5A3? Public comment?
Item number 3 says Carolyn O'Connor. It should say Carolyn Loomis.
Loomis?
Yeah, it's on the bottom of the paper she gave me.
Okay.
It was about the septic system. ALP.
Okay. Any other public comments on this? Seeing none. With that change, then, so I'm going to make a motion to approve those meeting minutes.
I'll make that motion to approve the meeting minutes with the addition of the handout that I provided today. That was also provided at that meeting, November 12th.
Second.
Okay, motion second. Kelly, roll call when you're ready, please.
Director Garcia.
Aye.
Director Halpin.
Aye.
Director Saunders.
Aye.
Director Souza.
Aye.
Director Wadley.
Aye. Okay, 5B1, statement of cash balances.
So 5B1 is the yellow pages we just handed out at today's meeting. We emailed this before. I apologize, they weren't available with the rest of the packet. They just weren't completed in QAQC on time. So
I don't want this part of the consent calendar to just accept it when we have not had a chance to review it or comment on it. I'd like to hold this over to the next meeting where we provide comments on it.
Okay. Seems reasonable to me. Anyone else object? Okay, so we'll bring back cash balances from the January meeting. So then we'll go to item 5B2, month-end cash disbursements report.
I had one thing for General Manager Palmer. It's on page 1, check number 30490. This was on the water rights fees, so thank you for providing the information to me, and I had some questions. If you could provide the directors with the information on the water rights, because some certain questions, so if you could. That was the information on the water rights?
Yeah, these are the annual permit fees for our water rights, and there's how many of them? 7, 8, I think.
Yeah, they just want a list of them.
There's a list,
you can provide them to the directors.
Oh, we can send it out. I don't have it here, but we can send it to
them.
Yeah. There's a list, so each water right has a number and a name, and each one has a different fee associated with it. So I gave Dr. Saunders, when he came in looking at checks, Adam gave him a list of all the water rights we hold. We can send that to everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, Steve. Can I ask a question? Steve?
Yeah, no.
Sorry,
directed the board.
I would just like to ask about the fees, because it seems to me it's like a tax, the permit fees, because I'm paying those too, and they raise them every year. This year it's 300, last year it was 150, and the year before that it was 100. And I'm wondering about the, could you maybe inform me or educate me on how that these fees are, or what they're for and what they're charged, why?
Yeah, well, the short story is the state charges them to us for having water rights. So we have these water rights allow us to divert and store water off the various creeks and rivers, and that's how we get the water that we then treat and supply to customers. And so in order to administer those rights, and they charge us a fee.
Okay. Well, I've had water rights for 25, 30 years, and for the first 20, I didn't pay any fees.
Oh, wow.
And all of a sudden, here we've got taxes without representation. I had no idea that this was...
We do, and if you wanted copies of the invoices, I'd have you share them with you.
No, I don't need to.
Do you have like a riparian right? Do you know what type of water right it is?
Yeah, it's a riparian right. I'm storing water, so and I pay for a certain usage of amount of usage of that water.
Right, but if it's riparian, they weren't charging or doing anything with riparian and pre-14 water rights until the more recent time.
92. 1992, they started charging.
Yeah, but they didn't require reporting until even after that, and so a lot of people weren't paying until the reporting requirements came along. Then they started charging them, what should have been charged before.
I wasn't aware of that. Where can I find this information if I want to research
it? On the State Water Board's website.
State
State Water Resources Control Board with Division of Water Rights.
Okay.
Mr. Hoffman, I can show you and help you with that too. I'll show you where they're located.
Appreciate that, Cindy. Thank you.
And I have a name, an email, because I was being charged $150 per pond.
Oh my goodness.
And it went up to what, $325 per pond this year. So I know where you're coming from. They go in the air and they find out where your ponds are and then they want to charge it, but they can use the water for fire. So anyway, that's all I got. It's there.
Okay, so then do we have a so we have a motion to accept the month-end cash disbursements? Cash disbursements.
Not yet. I've got several questions.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
This question is actually for Daryl. If we could look at page 2, this is check 030493. No, excuse me, wrong one. 030494. This is the Black Ridge tank. This was when I asked you about last month about the tank going in. So are these lab fees? These are for, well, first question is, did you? I'm assuming that you did. You followed the AWWA standards for putting new equipment into a system. So are these the test results that were required out of putting that new tank into service?
Yes.
Okay, great. Do you have the test results back yet?
Oh, yeah, we got them back within 24 hours.
Okay, is it possible that those test results could be portrayed in your report and then possibly put on the website?
It's possible. I mean, I don't know. We have them all. We get them. You know, we give everything to the state every month.
Okay.
Yeah, the state is the one who requested. I dealt with our engineer, and he had me work directly with him, taking the samples, giving him results. Had to do it 2 days in a row.
Oh, great, thank you.
And all that.
Yeah, I appreciate you doing that and staying up with the state reporting because that is important. But Director Saunders and I, the more that we're out in the public at the town halls or we're out at some of the divide chamber meetings or we're out in public at the cool Christmas and cool events and things like that, we get a lot of questions from customers. And one of them is, where's the data? How do we know we pay for all these lab fees? Where's the data? And so they're asking for accurate information to be posted on the website. So, something to think about, talk to your general manager about?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
It's public record.
Yeah, you tell anybody who asks.
Yeah.
Give it to them whenever they want it. Give them a copy at any second. All they got to do is ask.
Right. That's correct, but if it's put out on the website, then it's out there one time for everybody.
Yeah,
it saves
no, that's
your
not
time
a bad idea.
And effort from constantly sending it out to several requests.
Yeah.
I have another question on check, and this might be for the general manager since Christina's not here. On page 4, very bottom, the Myers & Son, the total of the $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now that that's been paid, can you tell me what funds those came out of, or that came out of?
What did we code it? Fund? I'll get back to you on that. I don't know what we code it.
It was a construction
fund. It's the same fund we use
same
for construction.
Fund,
yeah, it was a construction
so
fund.
But you're over 100 now.
Well,
the board directed us to make this payment.
Yeah. Correct, and that's why I'm wondering, because if we're over 100, where'd the 100 come from? Which fund?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you right now, but it came from the two construction funds we use for construction right now.
Okay, can you just check with Christina and let us know, let the board know?
Sure.
Thank you. A couple more questions. Again, Daryl, top of page 6. Again, the CLS lab data for the routine system bacteria. Was that for the ALT shutdown on November 14th, or was that part of the tank?
If it's routine bacteria, those do we do every week. We do samples every Monday of the year.
Got it. Okay.
It's required by law.
Okay, great. Thank you. So those are those. Okay, great. And then
special samples say special. Just so you know, if you look in there, if they say routine, that's our standard routines we do every Monday. Special samples like that Black Ridge one usually say special sample or Black Ridge. It'll have a different name than routine.
Perfect. Thank you. Brilliant. And last question that I have then is Steve for general manager. The check here again on page 6, about 3/4 of the way down. 030551 to George Sanders. Since we had extended his contract to December, is this his last check, or will there be one more in January?
Yeah, will there be another one? So whenever he's done, and there'll be another one because he's not through December yet.
Okay, and then that will be his last one?
I have to look and see how much money is remaining on his contract.
Okay. Yeah, can you check that and let us know too? That would be great. Thank you. And that's all I have.
Okay. Sure.
Just 3580 USDA Forest Service. Are those permits, licenses, or
3580?
Yeah. 3580.
Yeah. You know the answer to this one.
I'm sorry, I was contemplating.
Oh, the Forest Service permits. So we have ditches and canals that go through their property.
They're right of ways, basically, through Forest Service property. They charge
us
for it.
They put like permit at the end of it, and then that was, you know, what it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, there's the things we've been paying for forever. Yeah.
Okay, but they're the easiest, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay, any additional comments on their cash disbursements? Entertain a motion to accept these. Those questions answered?
Yeah, I can make a motion that we accept cash balance.
Okay. Second. Motion second. Kelly, roll call when you're ready, please.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Halpin?
Yes.
Director Saunders?
Aye.
Director Souza?
Aye.
And Director Wadley?
Aye. Okay, item six, formational items, board reports. Let's start from the left today. Dr. Souza, anything that you'd like to report on?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I guess I should have started with the phone. I don't know who's further left. Director Halpin, anything you'd like to report on? Board reports?
No.
Okay. Director Saunders?
The Finance Committee meeting was canceled due to a PG&E public safety power shutoff for last month. And treasurer report, we're waiting for to review the revised CIP budget once that goes through. With the water conservation legislation, as I told you, I go to all of the 12 work groups that are there working on these. The one that was most significant last time was the November 19th one. That's the big one, the water use studies work group. That's the one that determines what basically the outcome of this, all of the information and recommendations they give to legislators. Will go back to form guidelines, which will be directed back to give a water budget to all of the districts. So what that could mean down the line is we could have water in Stumpy that we may not be budgeted to use. So this is one of the things we have to look at. So one of the ways we can offset our budget is from the variances, and some of the discussions were evaporative coolers, horses and livestock, vegetation for irrigation for fire control. So this is one of the ways we can get budget back from our irrigation use. The other thing, the evaporative coolers, the study was being done in the Mojave Desert. So I also let them know there is a difference between biomes, between where we are up at the foothills versus the Mojave Desert, and that there are different types of evaporative coolers and all of that to explain to the people doing the study, so they need to kind of do it everywhere to determine how the water loss is compared in the different areas. One of the recommended board actions I do have for the horses and livestock is they're looking for districts to be able to work with, to do the study with. And if we work with DWR for the study on implementing how to calculate the water cost for horses and livestock, it will, one, also save us the resources for us after the fact trying to figure out who in our district has horses and livestock. So this will be one way we can, one, offset that, and two, be pretty active, because we're one of the few places that probably has a lot of our landscape that shows on their satellite pictures with all the brown areas that have horses and livestock on it. I mean, you know, in ALT, everybody, there is a lot of people. It's a equestrian community where I live. Most people have horses, so this would be beneficial to us as a board.
Okay. Sorry, can I ask a question? Since your recommendation is you volunteer to work with them, do you have, can we follow up, can you follow me later on the contact person over there?
Yeah, it'll be Peter Brosser.
Get going and get into that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, I get recommendations on, we were one of the districts they were looking at that would take a month to work on. So.
Yeah, I had heard, one of the things that Aqua they were talking about is, you know, surprise, surprise, you can't see the ground when there's trees.
Yeah, exactly.
So they were trying to do aerial surveys and
Surprise, surprise, it's hard.
So basically, the indoor one, so they did the study and they presented the study, and basically it looks at toilets, faucets, showers, washers, all of that stuff to determine what each person's household gallon per day usage is per person. But it doesn't look at multifamily housing, so that's one that's going to be even more offset than a regular standard family. It doesn't look at that. The outdoor one is determined by a satellite imagery, where they look and see what's green, and they call that irrigated, what's brown, they call irrigable, and they kind of determine some model to say what kind of water you have. And the first thing I brought up when I started going to these meetings, what if you are in the mountains? The same thing that he brought up, when you can't see the ground, what does the ground look like? I said, if you have this big swath of land, it's all ground, but it has, 200 head of cattle on it. What does that equal for water? So these were some of the issues that they have to look at. And the last two things, we had the town hall on November 23rd with Director Garcia. She'll probably go over that. And we were at Christmas at Cool, and most of the board members were there either participating or visiting. So, and that was a lot of the issues that came up that we've added on, and questions were brought to us while we were there. Okay, and that's it for me.
Thank you. Director Garcia.
Cardew, just want to let people know that we did have the town hall at Historic Cool Hall on the 23rd. We did provide a big Thanksgiving Day feast. It was well attended. The video is up on our YouTube channel. I provided the four-page agenda of the topics that was chock full of information in today's meeting minutes, so you'll have it for the permanent record. Appreciate everybody's comments there. We did receive a couple of questions, and Steve, since they're pretty easy, I'd like to see if I could just ask you those right now.
Go for it.
Okay. One of them was the power shutoff, the PG&E public safety power shutoffs. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to know if staff are getting paid for those days when there's no power here and they cannot work in the office.
Well, I have to send them home because there's no power, and yes.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
We try to limit that. Obviously, we're running on portable generators as much as we can, but we have extension cords running everywhere, so it's not really that safe. It's a tripping hazard and fire hazard, and then the office heater doesn't work, so it can get pretty cold here too. You can touch the walls and tell. So we do our best, and then we get done. We have to get done, and then it's getting to the point where people are feeling uncomfortable. I let them go.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you. And then the
So I could follow. We've been tracking our costs associated with that, both that and the fuel costs, and by and far the fuel is the most expensive thing to run the generators for the treatment plants. The total cost, I think, of the two that we actually recorded data on is like $6,000 range is what our cost is. And so we're going to provide that feedback to Aqua. They've got a working group that's trying to tabulate that cost for people so that when they go to negotiate with the state or try and get legislative action done, they have some dollars. So.
Great, good. Maybe we recoup some of those costs eventually.
Oh, yeah, Daryl's got
okay. I was just, last time I noticed when I was asked to sign PG&E bills, they were, I don't know if you looked at them or not, but like at my house, they owe me money on my last bill. It was the same way with all our bills here, too. They went way down. I can't tell you exactly what they were. Just somebody came and asked me about it, and I went, this isn't right. And I go, no, that is right.
Yeah, for example, like the ALT one might have been almost $4,000 less than normal and a lot of stuff.
Correct. That's exactly right.
So there were credits on there for those.
Yeah,
days.
ALT was about almost $4,000 less. Yeah. You're exactly right. As I saw that one, I went, what? So anyway, at least that was positive.
Okay. And then the last question was, on the two projects, the Upcountry Ditch Rehabilitation Project and the 2018 Main Canal Reliability Project, how many bids were received on each of those projects?
The Main Canal Reliability one is not, that's one we're trying to get grant funding for. That's the Upcountry one. So we haven't started that one yet. For the Main Canal Reliability, there was one, which was a point of discussion when we came to the board to award it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll get that back, those answers back to the community.
Yeah, the staff report goes into detail on that. And presented alternatives, and we had a long discussion here. Not thinking about it.
Okay, great, thank you. The other one I have is
we already talked about was the handout, which was the CIP with the revised estimated actuals that will be included in today's meeting minutes. I also want to make a comment on Supervisor Parlin's letter that we all received. I really appreciate her letter, and I always appreciate support from our County Board of Supervisors, but she's got a couple of questions. She's got some statements in here, and it led me to ask a couple of questions. Can we provide our policy, if we have one, on grants on our website? Because I looked for it, and I didn't find it there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think we have one. Yeah. I don't think there's an adopted policy on grants, but our standard process is to have the board approve those before we submit them. So we're not submitting grant applications that the board hasn't approved.
Okay.
Which is why we're reaching out to them and other agencies early, because we want to know if we can get support or not before we get the board approval and submit it.
Okay. The other question I have, based on her letter, is since this was directed to Adam Brown, will you be responding or will Adam be responding?
Probably me.
Okay.
And I think my approach is probably going to reach out to her for a meeting, because I feel like a lot of that questions in the letter show that she's just not educated on what we're doing here. I know I had a similar conversation with her executive officer about 6 months ago, and so a lot of these issues he brought up and I discussed with him, and so now they're coming up again. So I feel like my next step was probably to request a meeting with her and the XO there.
Okay, that sounds great. And when you...
If I could add to that, that was one of the... I also brought that up, I think, in the comments one time before when I was... She brought that up at one of the town halls. We had a discussion with them. I think an easy remedy is sending the board approval once we approve the grant, and that's with it when we send it in. That'll probably help cover a lot of that as well.
Yeah, a lot I think we need to meet with her to understand what she's requesting in that regard.
Because sometimes what happens is a supervisor may accept the request, and then it comes back at them that, oh, this wasn't approved by the board yet. Why did you do it? So it's one of those issues.
Okay. Great, because one of my follow-up questions was that it's nice that she offered to reach out and have a sit-down with you. So I just wondered where and when that might happen.
Certainly that's easier than a letter-writing campaign. Me to respond with a letter and then a letter back, we'll get anywhere.
Right.
So, okay. Yes.
So you'll be doing that. Okay, great. Thank you.
I just made a comment on that, too, because I did a little research after receiving that letter. The county's policy of putting agenda items is basically the same as what ours is. Board chair works with the CAO. Well, actually, so I guess a little more than that. So they have to work with the CAO, the county council, and the board clerk to put agenda items on, which, again, is essentially the same as ours.
Mm-hmm. I've done the same thing, and when I've talked to Supervisor Parlin, I've been assured that when she makes a request, it does end up on the agenda the way she likes it worded, so that they can discuss the point she needs to discuss.
As do a lot of yours.
The proof's in the pudding. All right, let's
move
on.
You're right, it
is. So, next question I have is... we're changing the November minutes. We already talked about that. We did the Christmas and Cool. And Christmas and Cool, I was approached by another water customer, the Matthews. They live in Garden Valley, and they had a question as to why their family that was asking why their drinking water taste has changed for the worse. And they were asking Director Saunders and I and Director Souza if there were any changes at the Walton treatment plant, and we all said we didn't know. We would get that back to you and your staff.
Okay.
And if you could reach out to the Matthews.
Yep. Do you know have any other information, or maybe you could?
Carl Matthews.
Okay, we'll try, and if we need additional information, we'll ask you.
Okay, thank you. And last question I have here is, when will the board and the Finance Committee have a fiscal year end 18-19 budget with the actuals?
Once the audit is done, so probably January.
Okay, thank you. Okay, that's all I have.
Okay. Just a couple things for me. I was also at the Chamber meeting, did a presentation as I do monthly, just kind of an update as to what basically we did at the last board meeting, answers and questions. And then couldn't attend as much of Christmas as Cool as I wanted to, but was on the planning committee, so I actually helped put the whole thing together. And so I got out there as well to see the event. So appreciate everybody coming out there for that. And being a part of it certainly is a good community event. So that's all I have. Let's move on to 6B, and we will go to General Manager's Report, Steve.
Okay. So, my GM report, I put a list as of the year end, I put a list of accomplishments that as a district we've accomplished this year. We completed the board goal setting workshop. The general manager was appointed and elected again to the Aqua Region 3 board. The district received the Aqua Award for 2019 as top outreach agency in Aqua Region 3. That's the little glass thing I brought on the table there if you guys wants to look at it. That's the award for responding to Aqua's legislative calls for action. So as legislation comes up and they need lobbying help, they send an alert to all the districts and agencies, and we responded to the most in our region in terms of letter writing and contacting legislators directly. So I'm kind of excited by it because it just shows that Aqua gives us a bigger voice and how we can have an impact on the state legislature, even though we're just small Mountain County's water agency. We replaced some of our aging vehicles and heavy equipment. We completed 3 capital improvement projects: the Garden Parks Water Source Tanker Coating, the 2018 Treated Waterline Replacement Project, and the Sweetwater Treatment Plant Project. We also designed, bid, and started construction on the 2018 Main Canal Reliability Project that is underway right now as we speak. They did some cleaning over the last couple weeks and then had to take some time off because of the rain. And then they'll come back again when they get some dry weather. We submitted the grant application for the Upcountry Canal Rehabilitation Project. We'll wait to find out in the spring if we got awarded anything. I issued a request for proposals and received proposals for a contract engineering project manager. This is to replace George in his role managing capital projects. So that contract will probably be to you guys in January for approval. I did an RFP for public outreach, which should be back on the 20th. We should have proposals back from that. I've received a couple inquiries, so hopefully we'll find someone that the board finds acceptable and we can have them get to work for us. We completed the Auburn Lake Trails wastewater zone rate study and adopted new lower rates. We updated leakage consideration policy to formalize and simplify the process for that. We adopted the board policies required for the CSDA transparency certificate. This is a board goal to obtain that certificate, and so we got that done. We're still working on a few little cleanup items to get the certificate done, but we at least had the policies out of the way. We started the upgrade of the accounting and billing software system. In fact, they were here last week. Tyler Jenkins was here all last week, I think 3 days last week, basically all day as the step one going through, well, not step one, but it was their first field visit to come out and see what we're doing and meet with the people who run the day-to-day operations and get a better understanding on the finance side what we do. And I understand Director Saunders, you had a chance to say hi to them when they're here. Excellent. So the next step, we're going to get the software finished getting installed, and then they're going to come out again with a different team of people for the next phase. So you know, there's a lot of work to do there still in deciding what the account structure looks like, what our chart of accounts are, what funds we have, and I think that's where we're going to get the finance committee and the board pretty well involved in those aspects. So that's yet to come. We completed long-term 2 enhanced surface water treatment rule and school lead sampling that was required by the state. I don't guess that was not in here, but that sampling that we had to do all the schools all came back non-detect for lead, so all is good in that regard. There's no concern with lead at the schools in our area. And then, well, that's accomplishments. And then I wanted to report a little bit on the Aqua Fall Conference. Since I just got back, it was last Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I accepted the award on behalf of the district there, so kind of got a picture taken for their magazine. I attended a general membership meeting and voted for Aqua President and Vice President. So we voted for the president, Steve Lamar, from Irvine Ranch Water District, who was the nomination committee's recommendation. So the way it works is Aqua has a nomination committee that reviews everyone that submits or is nominated
or submits interest in the positions of president and vice president, and then they do interviews and stuff and come with a recommendation. So he was their recommendation for president. He's been up a number of times in the district to different events, Mountain County's events and Aqua events, so I think he'll be a good, he's got a good understanding of Mountain County's, and he's got a pretty open guy, so we can have communication with him. And then vice president was a little bit different. Now, Pam Tobin was elected, but she was not the nominating committee's recommendation. Nominating committee recommended somebody else. There was a floor nomination for Pam Tobin instead, and that motion was seconded. And he had two motion and second on floor nomination. You had to have resolution from your board saying that your board supports the nomination of this person who wasn't the recommendation. You got to have a second. You know, so you get the two resolutions from different agencies saying, yeah, we want to vote on this person instead of the recommendation. And so other agencies did that. And then, Pam did get elected as vice president. And she is from San Juan Water District, so she's someone that's pretty local. So hopefully that beneficial for the district to have someone that's more familiar with Sacramento area and foothill area communities. I did serve on the board during our Region 3 membership meeting. We heard about a bunch of different things that the committee's been working on. Forest Service fire fuel reduction mapping project. So this is a Forest Service project statewide to map where areas that they want to reduce fuel in the forest. So it's a huge project. Barney's over there been working on it. I don't have any results from it yet, but it's something that's going on. There's lively discussion about PSPSs, just like we had here today, about impacts and costs and it's pretty shocking what some of the agencies had to go through, and with generators burning up during the middle of PSPS and trying to get fuel delivered during a fire, and just there's a lot to consider, so it was interesting. There was discussion of water conservation regulation, which Director Saunders covered his report, so I won't belabor that. I guess there were a couple of committees that reported, but I think Region 3 goals is the one I wanted to mention. At our January board meeting, we'll be talking about Region 3 goals, so things we want to accomplish as a region. And this was something the board president, from PCWA, Josh Alpine, really wanted us to focus on was some, they want to try and find some high-impact thing, something that we, as a region, agree that we really want to focus on and drive home and accomplish something with. So if you guys have anything you really want to try and get our region board to focus on and get done, send it to me, and I can talk about it at our board meeting in January. And then I kind of have a list of seminars that I attended, and it's always a balancing act for me as general manager and being at a smaller agency where I really am a working manager and I'm in the day-to-day nuts and bolts of operations and really rolling up my sleeve and doing stuff. So, but I still need to be involved with policies, decisions at a higher level than that. It's always a balancing act when I go to this conference is how much time do I spend with policy issues versus how much time do I spend with day-to-day operations type stuff. So you can see there, it's just a good idea as in addition to stuff, seminars about new water storage projects statewide and how to build success in the Delta. I'm also going to seminars on keeping a water system operating during emergencies and how to prepare and communicate during water call and emergency and retail agency challenges. So this was a really good conference from that regard. There was a lot of really good seminars. I think a lot better than Sacramento was last time. So it was very beneficial to go there. And I heard about some problems that City of Poway was having at the very same time we were there, which was shocking. So where they had to boil water notice for their entire city because the clear well in their treatment plant got infiltrated with stormwater. So they had stormwater runoff in the treated water storage facility. And they didn't know about it until they started getting dirty water complaints. So pretty shocking. And then projects-wise, I just highlighted a few. Reservoir stream gauging project. That contract for installation was awarded at the November board meeting. I know we're out there this week, or last week, doing some field walks with the consultants to start an environmental work and kind of planning efforts. The treated water line replacement project was completed. You'll have the notice of completion here on this agenda. 2018 Main Canal Riley Building Project. I mentioned that earlier that is under construction right now. And then I was talking to Daryl today about the filter work at Walton Lake Treatment Plant. I believe we're finishing up some big documents pretty quick here to get that out so that we're on schedule to get that work done in the winter or spring before we hit the high summer demands. I guess I'll hit an upcoming for January board meeting. We'll have selecting the board officers. We'll have two policies, investment policy, and then the calling it lockoff policy for now. Both of those will have to be reviewed by the finance committee. The finance committee already reviewed the lockoff issue. That's the state mandated changes to when you can shut people's water off now. So now they have 60 days after they are delinquent before we can lock them off. So that's an extension of time for people to pay their bills before we lock them off. So the committee's seen that one. They've not seen the investment policy update yet. Because, as Director Saunders mentioned, that November meeting had to be canceled because of the planned power shutoff. We'll bring that to the next meeting, which is next week. I believe we'll have a notice of completion of the Auburn Lake Trails Water Treatment Plan project. I'm trying to finish up the personnel manual update. That's in the hands of the union reps right now, so hopefully they won't have any comments and we can move forward. And then again, all the professional service agreement engineering project manager. The only thing I may be able to move up on that is the public outreach consultant, depending on what the bids look like and how quickly we can turn them around. But likely that's more like February, just between holidays. They're due on the 20th, and then I got time to review them and spin around a staff report. I'm not sure we'll have time, but we'll see. Depends on what I get. So that is my report.
More questions on Steve's report?
I have a question.
Hold on, we're going to go with us first. Do you have questions?
Okay, I'll go first then. Steve, I had a question on, let's see, you answered that one for delayed. On that you issued the request for the proposals and received proposals for the contract engineer project manager, when you mentioned to replace George Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
Can you clarify for me, one of the statements I heard in going back and listening to some of the previous meetings' recordings was a comment that you made that some of the project costs include the cost of an engineer or project manager consultant?
Yes.
Can you explain which projects do and don't include an engineer? And for those that do, mm-hmm. why do we need to replace George Sanders if we're going to have the project come along with the project engineer?
I don't understand the question why we need to replace George Sanders.
So if the comment was accurate that some of the project's costs include a project engineer, a project manager, a consultant, for those projects that come along with that level of oversight, why would we need an additional engineer here doing additional oversight?
No, you're misunderstanding.
Okay.
That money is to budget for George, someone for George's time. So ALT project had a budget, had a number in there for George's time. And we're just continuing that methodology.
Okay.
So it's not double counting, it's that George's time is billed to the project.
Okay.
And any project manager will be billed to the project. And so it's in the CIP. Those projects that show other costs, mm-hmm. other CIP costs, that is generally speaking the cost of a project manager. So obviously I don't have the CIP in front of me to rattle off, but I think, memory serves right, every project in there has an allowance for that because the board directed us not to hire a district staff project manager and directed me to instead increase the CIP project budgets to allow for consultant work to do that instead. So those instead of having a project manager cost in the labor side,
mm-hmm.
so instead of being labor side, it's on the project budget side.
Okay.
That direction was made by the board, I believe, at the last, when we adopted these back in June.
Okay, and sorry to be dense, but I just
no,
want to
it's fine.
I just want to clarify just one step further then.
Mm-hmm.
So if the, say for example, the main canal reliability project
mm-hmm.
on the budget side then includes money for a consultant, an engineer, does that engineer have to be an employee of the staff, or could it be an employee of the contractor that is awarded that contract?
So no, it's not the contractor that's awarded the contract. So, and I think you have to be really careful with terms. I think people use consultant and contractor sometimes interchangeably, which is a mistake. Because when I get in my language and capital project delivery language, there's a difference. And so contractor is the guy we hired to get out there with the shovels and the heavy equipment and do the work, right? But before I can hire someone to do that work, I have to have plans and specifications and bid documents. And that's the consultant. So the consultant's job is prepare. That's the engineering consultant. So when you see their engineering, there's engineering line item in the CIP. There's engineering consultant to do plans, specifications, all that bid document stuff. Then there's another level. So even before that, I have to have somebody, usually you have somebody at the agency who manages the project and keeps track of that consultant. Because the big mistake is just to hand a consultant engineer a contract and let him do the work, because there's nobody watching what he's doing, nobody looking out for interests, and so they get